The Dome Patrol United Network presents the Dome Patrol Podcast. What's up, Hoodat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk, but I am drinking a vodka and... Actually, I found a new Crystal Light flavor. It's called Berry Sangria. So a vodka berry sangria? I don't know. Anyway, the 49ers played dirty, as is tradition, knocking out several players. But this year, it wasn't enough to steal the win. The Saints had a slow start, but they recovered quickly and delivered a solid team performance in all three phases to secure their sixth win in a row. That's called a winning streak. We'll expand on talking points that were brought up in the two-point conversion instant reaction show. We'll check in on the Drew Brees injury and the quarterback situation for the Saints moving forward. Got a little bit of a Joe Burrow, of course. We'll check in on pick'ems, and then we'll launch headfirst into Falcons Hate Week. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm a zero, but I do have a little glass of wine. It's Wine Down Mondays after... a stressful past 24 hours, even though it was a win. A lot of shit happened, and it just, you know, reinforces the long history with the 49ers and the hatred of the 49ers. It always seems like something happens. You know, as much as we say fuck the Falcons, which we're going to be doing this week, fuck the 49ers.
Yep. All right, and let's see. We got Scott. Welcome to the show. What's your number?
I go with a one, I guess. Having a little... make a little vulture here. I can't stand the fucking 49ers.
Say what now? I can't hear you.
I hate the 49ers.
Ah, okay.
I'm a one, and I hate the 49ers.
Okay.
Damn it.
And then on the live stream, if you're watching right now, make sure you say hello. Talk during the show. We're going to make sure we read your comments. Try and involve your comments in the show. This is the kind of a replacement for Look at Him Tweets in case Big Easy Guy John is wondering what happened to Look at Him Tweets. He did give us a tweet. We will read it later on and respond to it. In the meantime, let's get into the San Francisco game recap. So, at the risk of not getting into the Breeze injury, that wasn't the whole game. Let's talk about the game itself. Was it a tale of two halves, or just was it a tale of the Saints just not having the ball for the first quarter?
And yeah, the time of possession was definitely one-sided in the first quarter, kind of in the first half. San Francisco was really throwing a lot of short passes and kind of running and controlling the clock. There wasn't much.
Yeah, and that was probably their game plan.
That we could do to stop them, at least initially, the first drive. I mean, they dripped. Oh, absolutely. They knew we have a good D-line, and, you know, they – didn't want to let the quarterback sit back there too long, so the game plan was to throw short passes, and it worked.
Yeah.
But you had to know that eventually, that I think that we would figure it out and make adjustments, and you can't do that for a whole game. You have to kind of adjust, and I don't know that they did adjust. I think we did, obviously, because our defense, you know, really came on strong after that. It definitely a tale of two halves for the defense. Because... you know, we gave up that early touchdown, but it was lights out, you know, after that. I think they only scored 3 points in the whole second half. Mm-hmm. So,
dude, the defense, I mean, it's something, because you're not, real quick, and I'll say, hey, Chris Farmer says, evening, gents. Vincent Burke says, DPU on my lunch break. Very nice. Gerald, the booty mailman, not the winner of Pick'ems, as we thought previously. So it was, I can't remember who it was, and I feel bad about that. He should have just taken credit for it. And Dave Miet, hail to the donkey train. Dave Miet's watching. All right. You talked about the defense, and tell me if you all feel the same way about me, but it's like I'm still maybe kind of having PTSD from the Spags defense and the Rob Ryan defense, where you see them give up a touchdown in that first drive. You see them kind of struggle a little bit to contain the 49ers. And you're just like, oh my gosh, you know, we're going to lose this game because the defense can't stop shit. Even their beginning of this season, when they would let up the big plays, and they did let up a big play or two against San Francisco. But yes, Booty, you should hear music. But it, I don't know. It was. It's just, at what point do we start to have that full confidence in the defense and say, I ain't worried. Sure, they're going to let up a touch. They let up one touch, what, two, a touchdown and two field goals?
I think maybe now that we have a backup quarterback in, we should feel comfortable based on what they did last year. That was the best five-game stretch this defense has ever played under Sean Payton.
Yeah.
So if that's what they're going to give us, sure. But getting back to the 49ers game, look, Shanahan's a great play caller. It's all about scheming, you know, motion. I mean, a lot of stuff going on to try to confuse the defense, and he's good with that. The issue is they're so decimated by injuries, eventually it just caught up with them, and our defense made adjustments where they had to. But really, I think a lot of it, and what gives me hope, I think, and a little confidence going forward is now that Davenport is healthy and clearly making an impact, and the addition of Quine Alexander, I know it's just his first game, but I think going forward, the fact that you now have added those two guys to your defense, the defensive line continues to ball out. Mario Davis continues to be one of the best, if not the best middle linebacker in the league. It's going to help the secondary. They're going to play better, and I'm confident now knowing what our pass rush is.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And we still haven't given up 100-yard rusher in, what, an NFL record? It's like 52 games now?
Yeah, 53, I think.
That is just absurd.
It doesn't even feel like that could have started that long ago, because we were such a shitty defense. Like, horrible, like, record-breaking defense. But that was, like, 5 years ago.
It was 2017. That's when
was it 2017?
That's when we started to fix some things.
Yeah. Still 3 years worth, but dude, what changed then? Was it really just focusing on building the D-line? And
I mean, Onyemata coming into his own, a healthy Rankins for a while, Jordan still playing well. I know we you know, always struggled on the opposite side of Jordan, but we had Okafor for a season. You know, we kind of plugged it in there, but adding DeMario Davis.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe yeah. That's... You know,
that wasn't even the first half of the 53 game stretch either. You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking all the way back to the beginning when we weren't doing it. But oh well, that was then. We're talking about this.
Oh, look, we've been scarred plenty of times with this defense giving. You know, I mean, look at how many times Breeze has taken the lead and then our defense has just puked all over themselves.
Yeah,
there's a lot of scar tissue.
Yeah,
so it's hard to get over something like that.
Like Vincent Burke says, the way this season's playing out, it reminds you of Peyton Manning's last year in Denver. Great D and really a shell of himself at quarterback coming in for the Super Bowl, riding off into the sunset. I do think, and we'll get into that when we get to our segment where we do talk about Breeze's injury, but I did think about how, like, we're outdoing the Peyton Manning version.
Well, Breeze isn't that, like, Peyton was
yeah.
terrible.
Yeah.
You know, Breeze is not, Breeze was Breeze playing at a
great.
High level, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he didn't, like, Peyton, he fell off. He was on fumes at that point. And I mean, you look at his stats, like, his stats were terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be a situation, at least for the Saints this year, where defense wins championships has to ring true. And it's funny, I remember then Ben and James talked to Jeff Duncan on the Jeff Duncan episode of the Dome Patrol United podcast network. And Jeff Duncan even mentioned how that defense wins championship mentality, like Sean Payton and Drew Brees almost made that a wrong statement, where like offense wins the league nowadays because of what Payton and Brees have done. And so many teams now copycat that. So it's interesting that of all the teams, like, it's going to be on us for our defense to help win this championship.
And the league has moved, you know, they want offense. They want entertaining games. It's an offensive league.
Yeah. So the other thing y'all mentioned yesterday on the 2-point instant reaction conversion show is
.net.
.info is right. Callaway, special teams, Big Bertha. He muffed the one, but he made up for it.
What?
By recovering two.
Harris muffed it.
Oh, that's right. Harris muffed it. But Harris then made up for it with a big return.
He did.
Yeah. Which I thought he was going to break out. I thought he had that one.
Yeah, like I felt like he didn't need to cut back. He could have just, like, you're the fastest guy on the field. Just keep going.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, look, Heaven.
You know, we give a lot of props to the D line, but man, the secondary ball too. I mean, CJ GJ was, Gardner Johnson was all over the fucking place.
Dude, this dude is just like, I mean, I remember, what was it, last year when his first time playing, and even then we were kind of like, this kid might have something. This kid's got, like, he showed up on the scene, and he's just never
he's got that sense. He's got that swagger right now where he's like, just
got that cock of the walk.
Yeah, all the confidence in the world. And we talked about that. We've talked about that in the past with defensive backs. Like, you know, when they've got the swag, they're in it. When they lose confidence, that's when we start to have problems.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's lacking any confidence right now at all.
Well, and you still saw it at the beginning of the season, maybe some of the breakdowns again this year, even though a lot of these guys have played together and it's the same coordinator, it shouldn't happen, but there was still confusion. Those, you know, busted plays. That's just confusion. That's not being on the same page.
Yeah.
And maybe some of that
definitely didn't. We didn't have that this week. I don't know if they weren't trying to really.
We haven't had it the past couple weeks. Look, they've slowly gotten better. Maybe it's the whole COVID weird off season thing. Maybe that plays into it too.
Yeah, he had a good game. Quan, you know, Alexander, for having his first game, it was had a really decent game.
He was solid. You know, one thing we didn't talk about, that fourth down stop that we had in the game, it was a really big point in the game, and I was surprised San Francisco just did a straight up just handoff to the middle, knowing how good our run defense has been. But I mean, we were in the backfield like that. Like that was one of the bigger plays of the game, I thought.
Definitely.
Do you think we would have won this game if the 49ers weren't missing so many of their starters? Or would it have just been a different game?
I think it would have been a different game. We had some issues, I think, covering their tight end again.
At least it wasn't Kittle. Like, if it was Kittle,
if it had been Kittle, it would have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
So I kind of do agree with some of that. It would have been interesting to see their defense. I don't know. You know, they were missing, what, two or three defensive linemen?
I mean, Bosa and Thomas on the end.
Yeah. I mean, you can sit here and what if all day. The fact is, we beat them. We're 7-2. Fuck.
Are y'all a little concerned with Ruiz right now?
He's struggling. Game.
He allowed the pressure that got to Breeze on the play, and
you know who we haven't talked about is Pete. Yeah, it's kind of Ruiz.
That's how bad Ruiz has been.
Right,
but he's
taking attention away from Pete.
But when we drafted him, it's like this guy was just a plug and play, and I guess maybe the issue is not having not having a regular offseason as a rookie coming in, and then the fact that, you know, he was hurt for 20 or so days at the beginning of the season, that didn't help. But man, I just expected to not have to worry about this guy. Whenever he gets into the game, I didn't expect to do that. And man, he's struggled a little bit.
I mean, maybe he's got a nagging injury we don't know about either.
They probably all do. Peyton's like, oh, he's fine.
He's fine.
Just got a scratch.
You know who our leading rusher was? Latavius Murray.
Is it?
Yeah. Is this his first time being the actual leading rusher?
Maybe this season?
Definitely this season, I think.
Uh-oh.
And granted, it's only 57 yards. Uh-oh, what?
You're not recording.
I just noticed.
Yeah, I'll just download it off of Facebook. It's fine.
Okay.
Sorry. It's cool. I failed you.
You did, Scott. Way to go.
I apologize.
I'll start now.
Not present.
All right. What do we got here? Okay, so you took my eye off the ball here, and I feel like Taysom Hill, and I dropped it. Speaking of Taysom Hill dropping balls, has he dropped a ball in some form or fashion in every game that he's played in this year?
I don't think he dropped one.
I hope he doesn't hold his kid like he does.
I don't think he dropped one in Tampa. Man, I kind of said this during the game, like if it was anybody else having as many fumbles as he would have, they would have been in Peyton's doghouse and been sitting on the bench.
Yeah,
like not Golden Boy.
Yeah, I mean, not him. And I don't know if it's so much or what, but man, he's got to hold on to the fucking
Granted, the drop,
ridiculous.
The drop this time, wasn't it because of a hit or something? Like, it was almost a more understated. Like, I don't, what I can't stand is when he like fumbles around with a snap. That's the worst. But you get hit, you get popped the ball, get, you know, whatever. Sometimes that happens. But I don't know. And then other thing is San Francisco, you know, I mentioned it in the beginning, like that they free, I don't understand it. They play so rough against us and they get called for nothing. I mean, that I get, that's just the NFL refusing to call anything, but it's like they come here and they play to hurt the Saints. They, and they've been doing it since the playoff game where they knocked Pierre Thomas out.
Yeah, it seems like every time we play them, we end up with a plethora of injuries.
How is this possible?
It's amazing on a play like the one that happened to Traquan. Like, I know it's always bang bang, but man, if that was a Saints defender doing that on some other team, you know damn well the flag's coming out.
He'd been
ejected. Yeah, that should have been a penalty.
Right.
Yeah, especially like and look, even if you miss it immediately, when you see him like go completely limp like that. With the NFL's, you know, oh, we're all about safety. Usually when something like that happens, they'll at least toss something. Nope, nothing with us.
Nope.
Nothing with us.
Nope. You know, just kind of speaking of the injuries, I mean, obviously, we'll talk about the Breeze injury. Traquan, Gardner Johnson went down for a little while, but, or, you know, I think he said he'll be okay. There was a few other ones. I know Pete
Josh Hill had a concussion.
Yeah.
So the two guys in the concussion protocol, I don't see them being available next week. I just don't.
Really?
I mean,
it depends.
Maybe, but I mean, with Traquan, we can afford
to without Traquan. Yeah, we could deal with that.
But Hill, as much as we all rag on Josh Hill, our running game is not the same without him. It's just not.
When did he go out?
I have no idea.
During the game.
I'm not one of the guys that watches every snap of him like we used to do for Zach Street.
You just wait for the playoffs to watch Josh.
Oh, God.
All right. Anything else on the game itself?
You know, we did a good job late in the game running the ball, running the clock down, which was good to see. We needed it the way... you know, I think Jameis was throwing a little bit. We'll kind of get into that more.
Ignatz Lutz, still money.
Yep.
We kind of mentioned Morstead, you know, off on a couple little punts here and there. Kind of maybe see age kind of creeping in. And they just got that new punter who can boom the ball, so.
Who's going to be a lot cheaper because Morstead ain't cheap.
Yeah. So, you know. I wouldn't be totally shocked if Moore said if this was his last season with the Saints.
No.
Not saying it is, but it wouldn't surprise me.
All right.
Because I think the other kick field goals are two.
I mean, I don't know. We don't need a field goal kicker, but...
We need money for other players. We're,
right. Well, I mean, and that's the thing. You know, with the uncertainty or with what the cap's going to be next year.
Yeah.
Just don't know.
Yeah. So, all right. We'll see.
All right. Let's get into the conversation that kind of took over Twitter and Saints Nation today in a segment that we bring out every now and then called Overanalyze This. So, yeah, it's Drew Brees. News came out today that he has two fractured ribs, not broken, fractured.
And it was five.
One collapsed. Five. It's five?
It's five. Jeff, you were shortchanging it on two.
Holy shit. Okay. Five. So his half of his rib cage is fractured. And
three on one side, two on the other.
He's got a collapsed, not a punctured, but a collapsed lung. What the hell causes this? And they say accumulation, but I mean, the hit had to cause the collapsed lung, right?
Well, I know two things that cause it. Cesar Ruiz and Andrew Speed.
Oh, fuck it.
Yeah.
He has one broken bone for each offensive lineman.
That's horrible.
He's
person that's supposed to block for him.
So, but for real, like, how do you accumulate those kinds of injuries?
Jeff, it's tackle football. You have 250, 300 pound men trying to pound you into the ground.
Doing so. I mean, they said that, you know, I think he broke two or three of them in the Tampa game and didn't realize it. They didn't realize it until he showed up on the X-ray.
Our crack medical staff didn't discover it.
I don't know what the hell they're doing in that medical staff. Like, your star quarterback. I mean, how about a little rib pain? You're fine. You're fine. We'll put your flak jacket on. You'll be all right.
I mean,
Ice and Advil. You'll be good.
I mean, God, how bad is that, man? It's so bad.
It's Billy Bob.
He took that hit in the San Francisco game. You could tell he was in pain, you know, when he took it. But, you know, he did pop back up pretty quick. And, you know, to come on the field, being in that, having five broken ribs and a collapsed lung, and run a 2-minute drill, drive him down the field,
throwing a freaking touchdown with a punctured lung is insane.
I mean, look, in the play he threw the touchdown on, he fumbled the snap, so he had to bend down to pick it up, which had to be an excruciating to bend down to pick up, picked it up, and then threw it, like, across his body, which had to be even more excruciating to Alvin Kamara for the touchdown. I mean, fuck.
That's tough. That dude. They don't make him tough.
No,
and then he's like, my back was just stiff. I wanted to get back in.
Yeah, he's like, my back was stiff. So, and, you know, they said, too, that he went into the medical tent a couple of times during the second half trying to get looked at to get back in the game. Yeah.
Dude, he is just a competitor.
I don't know if he's a fucking mental case.
He's insane.
What?
He's insane. He's absolutely insane. That's what makes him great, but fuck, he's insane.
Vincent Burke said, send him to Walter Reed. Yo, I mean...
Put some Robitussin on it.
Clearly, last week when he didn't show up and practice, or he didn't practice on Wednesday, and they all played it off as, no, this is routine. I'm old. I never practice on Wednesdays.
Yeah. Well, they didn't know about the damn, you know, broken ribs, so maybe they just thought it was routine. I don't know.
Just crazy.
You know, and then
that's stunning. I mean,
he played the whole, good thing he didn't play the first quarter. You know, like, good thing San Francisco held the ball for all but three plays. You know, because otherwise he wouldn't have made it to halftime. Think about it. Ugh. So this is where we stand. He's got all these injuries, and I know Saints Nation panicked, and everybody was like, oh, you know, let's bring out the jazz funeral band. And Ben is on our WhatsApp is saying, like, planning funeral arrangements and being upset about it. And I just looked up how long does it take on Google, how long does it take to recover from the collapsed lung? Because I think, to me, like, the collapsed lung almost feels, it sounds worse, right? It's like 2 days, 3 days, maybe a week for an old guy like us, right? So, collapsed lung is not really a concern of mine. It's the ribs, which is, what, 4 to 6 weeks, Jason? Is that what your dad said?
So if you look on Twitter, they're like, oh, super optimistic is like 3 weeks. My dad says 6 to 8 weeks. Now, that's probably on the larger end, especially with a guy as maniacal as
maniacal,
whatever, maniacal, as Breeze is.
Did you say Breeze?
I kind of did.
we need him to be Breezes right about now.
Look, he's gonna play again this season. Probably week 16 or 17, just because that's the kind of guy he is. But realistic, I mean, he's not gonna be fully healthy. So the issue is gonna be, okay, let's say you bring him back. I mean, look, our Super Bowl hopes hinge on him playing. So I get, especially he knows this is it. He's not gonna go out on the bench, but. All it's going to take is one bad hit, and he could be knocked right back where he is.
Right, and that's the problem. See, like, yeah, I kind of said this earlier in our chat. You know, this ain't like the thumb. The thumb, you can do exercises and try to rehab. I mean, everybody remembers him on the sideline doing.
You can jam it in people's buttholes, nah.
You heard me, but the ribs, you can't do anything. Like, you have to literally just sit there and let them heal. I mean, he's older.
It takes longer for your body to heal. I mean, I get a cut on my arm and it's there for fucking 2 months, you know?
Is there any,
I mean,
can we find ridiculous. Any, is there any super soldier serum somewhere we can dig up?
Seriously. Well, all right, so now with him being out, let's say he's out for, let's say, 7 weeks.
Oh, wait, can I, yeah, I don't think he's coming back in a regular season.
Okay.
Like, there would be no point, by the final game, you're going to know your playoff situation.
Right.
If they're in the playoffs, I mean, if they've got a spot in the playoffs, they won the division, there's no reason you should put him in the game.
I mean, what if you have a chance to get the bye?
What if it takes beating the Panthers to get the bye week?
No.
Not worth it?
No. No. Not worth it.
Well, hold on. If you're competing, here's the thing. If you're competing for the bye week in week 17 after not playing with Breeze, that means you got to that point without him. You can probably still get into that bye week with Winston or Hill or whoever it is that got you there.
But the issue is, okay, if you're gonna bring him back in the playoffs, even though, look, we know how great he is and he's been with the, you know, are you trust him not having any kind of reps for 7 weeks?
That is another question, right? If let's practice. Say it's kind of like the Aaron Brooks Jeff Blake situation, right? Jeff Blake goes down, Aaron Brooks comes in, leads the team. Granted, Jeff Blake didn't have a chance to come back in,
but he also wasn't the greatest quarterback in NFL history.
That's true. But I'm kind of the same thought passed through my mind. Like, if, let's say, for this example, Jameis Winston carries this team undefeated all the way throughout, and then do you
that's
ride
right
the
thanks
horse?
For stopping by
do you, I mean, you gonna have to. I mean, it's fucking Drew Brees, but at right. the same time, there's a rhythm. There's something going on here.
I mean, I'm sorry, whenever Brees is ready, I'm turning to Brees, no matter how good we've looked in the meantime.
I mean, I agree.
If you have a chance, yeah. Drew Brees will not be rusty
in the playoff game.
No. You wouldn't think.
Now, if it's the final game and if you have to win to make the playoffs, then maybe you play him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
well,
if you've already got a spot sewn up and you're playing for a bye, no.
Well, and something else, like the bye, at this point, the bye is only important in terms of possibly getting a week off because there's no real home field advantage this year.
So it's not like
hosting a home game isn't what we are used to thinking that is.
That is true. So this is the year for something like this.
Especially if things keep going the way they're going, it's possible. I mean, I know we have some teams have fans, some don't. We currently do, but it's possible in 2 months it could have gone the other way and maybe they're playing in a bubble. And then nothing's going to matter. Like, no home field advantage matters. So at that point,
then you sit his ass out.
Right. At that point, all you got to do is get in.
Yeah.
And you're on the same playing field as everybody.
They might end up doing the playoffs.
It'd be nice to only have to play.
They might.
It'd be nice to only have to play, what, 3 games now? 2 games?
Well, sure. Sure. And that's the thing. Not having to play an extra game.
Right.
But at least you don't have to worry about, oh, fuck, we got to go into Green Bay or wherever. I mean, sure, it might still be cold, but it's not going to be full of fans.
Right. All right.
I'm curious if
go ahead.
Bubble for the playoffs. If they bubble it for the playoffs.
I mean, it's probably not a bad idea, but the NFL, they're stupid. They're not gonna do a bubble. They're just gonna we're just gonna plow forward.
You do an NFC, bring on the fans. An AFC bubble. You do
they
an
should
NFC bubble and an AFC bubble.
But well, I guess the makes problem sense. Is how can you? Yeah, but you can't if you got to play 2 or 3 games on a weekend. You're not doing it on the same field.
Yeah. Why put them on a turf field in a dome? Are you kidding me?
Okay. Yeah, bring him down to the
Superdome.
Let's go.
Bring
it
here.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I guess I didn't think about the whole turf aspect.
But now let's stay on track here. The other debate that happened all over because of this was, do you play Jameis Winston as the solid starter? Do you play Taysom Hill? Do you do a quarterback by committee? I mean, how are you going to play? How does Sean Payton play this? He clearly didn't say any. He didn't give us any indication today, and rightfully
because he's
so.
Not going to.
Right,
he's
rightfully so. But what would you do? Where do you think it stands? I mean, does it have to be Jameis Winston?
Yes, Jameis is the QB. Taysom is still your joker.
He's your running back.
He might throw a pass, but he's not your quarterback.
I kind of agree. Maybe it's not really a debate.
It's
that simple.
I don't think that's the debate. I think the debate is,
is Jameis going to suck or is Jameis going to be good?
Okay.
You know, and I mean,
what would we hear today? The whole conversation about that then is we're going to have a Jameis came in on a Drew Brees game plan with not as many reps all week.
Similar to what they did last year, kind of similar to what Teddy did last year in the Rams game. So now you have a week to design a game plan around him. It's going to be whether he can execute it or not.
The best thing is the Falcons are going to have nothing. The Falcons don't have any. You talk about not giving them tape. They would be normally
have tape from Tampa. They played him twice. They played him twice.
Yeah, I mean,
last year.
Yeah, they could know his Morris tendencies. It's a different offense, but they'll know his tendencies. But
yeah,
but yeah, and look, and I may have overacted a little bit on Twitter, and I said Jameis sucks. I mean, look, he definitely didn't impress me. But again, give him a week of prep for his game plan, and we'll see what happens. But his, like I said, his accuracy just worries me.
Very much. His accuracy worries me. I think what they're going to have to do is to develop, which is almost kind of like we were doing with Brees at the beginning of the year, where these short little dump down passes.
Or
he has to be intelligent enough to throw them and to know where to go with the ball.
Or what we do, nobody has film on us throwing 40-yard passes. Let's just unleash the 40-yard bombs.
Let Deontay Harris go too. Gerald.
Yeah, right. Yeah, let Deontay Harris blow that. We can actually blow the top off of defense now. Defenses haven't seen any film on that for us this year.
That's true.
He scares me. When he cocks back to throw deep, I'm holding my breath every
You're ready for a pick six. I mean, that's the thing. Look, he's going to.
Vincent
Burke
says, I'll trade a pick for a few deep bombs, but no more than one.
He's going to throw at least one back-breaking interception this year. It's coming. It's going to happen.
So, you know, and again, looking ahead to the games that he has to play.
Yeah, the schedule lines up well for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the Falcons, the Broncos.
Yeah, but the Falcons are healthy and playing better. The Broncos should be.
The Eagles. And then the Chiefs, that was a game that we might have lost anyway.
We kind of penciled that in as a loss anyway.
The Vikings and the Panthers. I mean, you can't give the guy a better lineup, you know, to play.
Right.
And then the defense stepping up the way it can. And, yeah, I think the Falcons, they're coming here Sunday.
Oh, they're looking for a win. They're like, Jameis is playing. They got their backup quarterback in. We're going to come in. We're going to fucking curb saw. That's what they're thinking.
Oh, that's cute. They forget CJ GJ. Even if CJ GJ has to play on the sideline, has to sit on the sideline, he's still going to get in their heads.
Yeah.
did y'all see that tweet I sent you there? The Falcons social media had to go back to a Willie Snead play to find a highlight against the Saints.
That's all I got.
That's funny. All right. That's all we got for the Drew Brees over-analyze this segment. Do we have a NFL reach around, or do you want to jump straight at the Bigums?
I can give you a
Burrow and Thibodeau decided to go watch the LSU Tigers play football. Well, they got there early to tailgate. They made a deer sauce pecan. They fried some fish, made a potato salad. They got drunk. They drank a boatload of beer. Well, come game time, they sitting in the stands watching the game after the first quarter. Boudreaux said, Tip, I'm going to the snack stand. You want something? He said, no, I don't want nothing. So Bob Boudreaux's walking down the stairs, and Tip was like, man, I think I want me a Coke. So he's hollering at Boudreaux. Hey, Boudreaux! Boudreaux said, what? He said, give me a Coke! He said, what you want? He said, give me a Coke! What you want? He said, give me a Coke! He said, what? So Bob, Thibodeau picked up his binoculars. He said, man, look how close he is. He said, hey, Boudreaux, give me a Coke.
They did lose 36-10. They were playing the Steelers. So 21 for 40, 213, and a touchdown.
I mean, it's worse than Joey. That's pro, but no pick.
Yeah, it's probably one of, but I mean, Steelers defense.
It's Pittsburgh, man. Always have a good defense.
Yeah.
The only thing that
the one on the air,
yeah,
is the Bengals, not this.
The only thing that I, you know, the big game of the week was the Arizona Buffalo game, the crazy ending. You know, Buffalo scores a touchdown to Diggs with like 20 something seconds left to take the lead, and then you have the Hail Mary to Hopkins. And that trade just continues to be a disaster for Houston. You know, because Houston ended up losing to the Browns. They're 2-7. They don't have their first two picks. They're a franchise in disarray. They're far worse than Dale, Jeff.
Emmy?
What?
What's worse
Eddie,
than Dale,
little Eddie.
Jar Jar, I am no longer Anakin Skywalker.
These are some nice adults, you pooper.
Look, Jar Jar, it is very important that you never speak to me again.
What's happened to you?
You should burn your face.
Jar Jar.
What's happened to you?
Jar Jar, homie, my main man, quickly. Before the Separatists attack, get into the escape pod.
Hey, this is a
but, so now, with Seattle's loss to the Rams, I mean, you've got the Rams, Arizona, and Seattle, and some people are thinking, like, well, maybe Arizona's the best team in the in that division. So,
they could sneak in.
Time to play the game.
Let's get into the
You don't need a player.
Now you play it. Oh, yeah.
You gotta take control. We make it. I will deliver the pain. You can't take it. I'm in control. I am your pain.
Oh, do I have to?
Yeah.
Okay, so for our UK guys, Ben and James, I did not get your picks in. I know you sent them in, but I didn't.
James went 4-1. I don't have Ben.
Wait, hold on. Houston and Cleveland was a push.
Houston, and you're giving everybody wins for that, right?
No, I wasn't going to give anybody anything.
I give everybody wins on a push.
Oh, well, okay. All right, I'll give everybody wins.
I mean, it's no matter. If you give them a loss or a win, it won't matter, but I think everybody wins. Remember, you did that years ago. We decided to be generous.
I don't remember, but okay. So James went 4-1, you said?
Yep. And then did Ash pick?
Yeah, Ash went 3-2.
Okay.
He sent me his picks. What about Ben? Do you have any picks
for Ben? I don't have picks for Ben.
All right, I guess he slept. So, so I guess James won the week, going 4-1. Scott and Ash both went 3-2. Jeffy, you went 2-3, and I went 1-4. That was so stupid switching.
Remember Scott and I did the Jedi mind trick on you?
Yep,
yeah,
we got you.
I was feeling overconfident, even though I knew. And, dude, look, now, like, Miami could win that division.
I tell you, I now believe in Miami after that.
They look good. Tua was playing well, and I think today is the 1 year anniversary when he fractured his hip a year ago.
Oh, wow.
All right, and the larger league, it is still Ash in first place, followed by James. His week just brought him up to second place. Then JTL, and then me, then Scott, then Mordecai, Tom Ensign, Trevor Bruno, Jason, Carp, Ben, Big Easy Gaijon, Davis Douglas, Neil, Christian Mino, Sans Hobbs, Chris McGuire, Dave, Gerald, Booty. Gerald, you are losing to Dave, who doesn't even make picks. Drew, Jake, Preston
possible?
Allen, and Gunn. I mean, Dave made, like, a few picks. He's 18. I mean, he's missing, like, over 18 games or something like that, which usually we disqualify him. So, Gerald, you're in last place. That's what that means. Sorry. I can't believe we ever thought that you won pickups. I'm just messing with you.
Oh my god, that's
he said.
That's
I started brutal. A few weeks. You started a few weeks into the season. Let's see, how many games are you missing? Yeah, you're missing three games. I think I got you. We don't penalize you for missing a couple of weeks. We give you a reprieve on that. So
the mailman is not delivering.
Yep. All right, Jason, what you got this week?
All right, so I actually went with two shitty games of the week because the slate's not great. You know, I mean, there's a good game on Thursday night. Well, there's a good game on Thursday night, Arizona-Seattle, which would have been nice. And there's also a good game on Monday night, the Rams and Tampa. So we got denied of having two really, really good games this week. So,
All right,
our first game, the Green Bay Packers coming off. Were they on a bye? Did they? No, they won this week. Yeah, they
won this week.
Yeah. They didn't have a tough game to play Jacksonville, so it was an easy win for them. They traveled to Indianapolis to play a Colts team that is coming off a really nice win against Tennessee. I don't know what the hell's happened to Tennessee, especially with Rivers. I mean, look, I know the Colts defense is good, but Rivers hasn't played great. But, I mean, he had 300 yards and a touchdown on Thursday. Hines, they found at running back, who's really been really well for them. So this game's in Indianapolis, and the Colts are favored by 2.5. So as a Saints fan, we're pulling for Green Bay to lose because as of now, with the tiebreaker, since they beat us, they're technically the number one seed.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Green Bay struggling against Jacksonville makes me.
It was closer.
It was closer than it needed to be. So it gives me enough to pick Indianapolis in this game.
I am a firm believer in the Indianapolis Colts defense, so I am taking Indy as well.
I should take the Colts. I want to take the Colts, but I'm taking Green Bay.
All right, Green Bay. Also, guys, for those of you watching live, Gerald, Vincent, if y'all want to make your picks live, you can go ahead and type them in, and I'll record them tonight.
Go ahead. Show them what you're made of.
That's right. Get on it.
Do it.
All right, our next game, a game of two playoff teams last year. They're kind of scuffling at the moment. Tennessee Titans coming off that loss against Indy, like I said, on Thursday. Travel to Baltimore, play Ravens team that lost last night to New England. I know it was a monsoon, but...
Well, that game with the rain was ridiculous.
Lamar Jackson just hasn't been quite the same. They've had a lot of injuries, Baltimore has. It's really kind of hurt them. They don't look like the same team they were last year. And yet they're still favored by 6.5.
Baltimore's favored by 6.5?
Baltimore's favored by 6.5. I mean, look, Tennessee's defense sucks. So if Lamar's ever going to get it right, this is the week. I'll go first, though. I mean, Baltimore's got to prove it. And look, Tennessee's not great, but I still think even if Baltimore wins, it's a 3-point game. So give me the points with Tennessee.
I kind of agree. That's a lot of points to give up. So between two good teams, yeah, I'm going to take the points.
I'm going to take Baltimore.
There it is.
Give up the 6.5.
All right, our next game, this is going to be a nice little shootout in the desert. Kansas City Chiefs, coming off a bye, travel to Las Vegas to play a Raiders team that is coming off a nice little win last week. Granted, it was just against Denver, but they won by 25 points. So the Raiders are sitting here at 6-3, Josh Jacobs with a nice game. And they're getting 6.5 at home.
The Raiders are getting
6.5.
Well, that makes sense. They're playing against Kansas City.
I'm gonna take Kansas City.
Wow. Now they the Raiders gave Kansas City their only loss of the season so far.
Payback. And it is a division game.
It is.
That's a tough quarter, but yeah, I just feel like Kansas City's gonna scorch them.
I'm gonna go ahead and take the points with Vegas. Just
all give right, me the points. There you go.
All right, and now for phase one of our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. Of shit card. I got a piece of shit card. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My card's.
And it does feel sad to put our boy Joe Burrow in the shitty game, but his team's still shitty. Cincinnati Bengals coming off a loss to Pittsburgh last week. They traveled to Washington to play a football team that continues to be the worst organization in the league. They had a chance to win last week against the Lions, but choked it away and lost by a field goal. This game's in Washington, and they're favored by 1.5.
Washington's favored by 1.5? Or Cincinnati?
Correct. Alex Smith threw for over 300 yards.
Okay, I am.
So Cincinnati is getting 1.5.
Yes.
100% taking Cincinnati in this game.
Yeah, I'm on that one too. Bengals.
Give me all your Cincinnati chili. Was it Skyline chili? Give me all the Skyline chili.
I don't even
know. Yeah. And now our back-to-back shitty game of the week. The New York Jets, perhaps the shittiest team in the league, travel to Los Angeles to play the Chargers, who are just coming off another loss for the Chargers. They seem to have more talent than their record would indicate. So you got to think with the way Herbert's playing, there is some optimism and momentum there, but their coach still sucks. So you got to think they're going to fire him and move on next year. You know, I mean, they only lost to the Dolphins by 8, but still. But they're home. They're favored by 8.5. Oh. The Chargers are favored by 8.5. That's how bad the Jets are.
Damn. Wow. I thought this was going to be easy.
Oh, it's easy. I'm taking the Chargers. I'm taking the Chargers. You can't bet with the Jets. You just can't.
I know. Yeah, you're right. I'm taking the Chargers. I'd rather take the loss than go with the Jets.
Yeah, I'm taking the Chargers too.
So there you go. That's our game. We've got Green Bay at Indy, Colts favored by 2.5, Tennessee at Baltimore, Ravens favored by 6.5, Kansas City at Vegas, the Raiders are getting 6.5 at home, Cincinnati at Washington, Washington's favored by 1.5, and then the Jets at the Chargers, Chargers favored by 8.5.
All right, get your picks in before we...
Oh, Gerald Boutte got him in.
Gerald got yours in. All right. Everybody else, get your picks in before the kickoff.
Jeff, you better remember to like his reply.
How am I going to do that? I guess I'll do that.
Well, all right. You might want to write him down.
Yeah. In the meantime, let's get into... It is now officially Fuck the Falcons, Falcons Hate Week, whatever you want to call it, the Saints preview.
Oh, fuck them. I'm hoping to maybe get tickets to this game. Still haven't been contacted at all by the Saints. Either way, even before last week's game, didn't even get an email saying, nope, you didn't get them. So I'm clearly on the bottom of the list.
They're not letting Section 628 in.
It's called 648, and clearly the Saints don't like us.
They don't even know.
We are being discriminated against for being in the best section in the dome. I don't know what the hell's going on. They need to fix it.
Or maybe they're saving y'all for a game they need you.
Well, now I'm not going to get to see Breeze, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Saints.
I wonder how many people are going to try and like give up their tickets because of this. It's also the Sunday before Thanksgiving.
I mean, look, if people can go in, they're going to go in. I just don't want to see, like, because I've seen some people that have that have gotten to go to games already. I don't want to see them in another week saying, yes, here I am back at the game, and I haven't been once. It screams of something. I think there's some shenanigans going on. I really do.
It's all LaToya's friends.
Maybe there isn't. I mean, we've only had technically 9,000 season ticket holders be able to come in, but it seemed like a lot of season ticket holders opted out. There shouldn't be that many more people that haven't been selected yet.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. So let's talk about the Falcons. What have they been doing lately that causes you to be concerned? Besides, you know, the fact that it's Jameis Winston
shitting their pants.
I mean, are they still shitting their pants? Honestly, I don't even know.
I don't even know.
I know the Falcons, they're so off the radar.
Right. I want to say that I know. Gurley has a lot of rushing touchdowns. But I want to say that Calvin Ridley was injured and didn't play. Their last game. Now they've won 3 out of 4. They beat the Panthers, beat the Broncos, beat the Vikings, lost to the Lions.
Okay, so they haven't won shit. I mean,
right. I mean, Matt Ryan's got a lot of yards. Ridley's got a lot of yards. Julio's got a lot of yards. So they're healthy. But their defense is still decimated by injuries.
Yeah, because they're coming off of the bye, right? They didn't play this week.
Right.
So
correct. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, they have a bye this past week. So, I mean, that could help them a little bit with just having time to prepare. But, I mean, you're not preparing for Breeze now. So, you know, if they spent all last week, that was the plan. They spent all last week preparing for Breeze. Now he's hurt. So,
yeah, that's going to be the key. What's our offense going to do? How are we going to do it? Because, look, Atlanta is going to get their yardage, but I guess one of the keys, and we kind of talked about it, does this defense step up knowing, hey, Breeze isn't going to come save us? Kind of like what happened last year.
Oh, I kind of said this the other day. They have to switch into Teddy B mode. You know, when Teddy was in there, they played, you know, lights out, and we need that again because I got a feeling they're going to be on the field possibly a bit more just because I think Jameis is probably going to throw some picks. So, you know, they got to be ready for that.
Now, I think the good news about this game going against the Falcons is that their offensive line is garbage, and our defensive line is playing maybe as well as they have. So I anticipate a lot of pressures, a lot of sacks. You know, that's the one thing that's going to throw their offense off. So, yeah, I do like our defensive line against their offense.
So that'll, yeah.
Which I'd say, like, that's the number one key to the game.
Right. If you, right. Defense comes in and holds them to, like, 3 or 7 points, then Jameis can kind of take it easy. He doesn't have to do too much.
Right. You know, and you know, we've
and
been...
ball control, too. Let's just hold the ball for...
Yeah, I mean, we need to run the ball. 45 minutes. I mean, we've talked about it. Games, but I think it's very important right now that we get the running game going. Murray, Kamara, even if it's little, you know, swings out the backfield that you're throwing, it's Kamara, that's almost kind of like a run. We need the run game going. And, you know, the defense needs to keep playing hard. We've gotten a lot of turnovers these past few games. So, you know, they need to keep that up. Jenkins had a pick last game. P. Rob came up with a pick, you know, a big pick in the end zone. You know, we need to keep winning the turnover battle if we're going to have chances to win these games.
So we play the Falcons 2 times in the next 3 weeks.
Yep.
That's an interesting little wrinkle.
But and their suckitudeness has really kind of taken a little wind out of our Falcons hate week sails, right? I mean, it's like, again, you talk about like overlooking a team, not respecting a team, trap game mentality. This could even be a trap because it's kind of like,
well, but if Breeze was fully healthy, I'd say yeah. But because we have a lot of unknown at quarterback, like, you know, there's no looking past this game at all.
I think there's a sense of urgency as far as the defense goes to get turnovers so we can, you know, score more points. They know they're going to have to step up their game with Jameis in.
Cornerbacks have to play well against Julio and Ridley.
Yeah, so what? That's all they have. But yeah, you know, that and maybe Russell Gage, right?
But didn't they have
Hayden Hurst is their tight end? Then if you talk about tight ends giving us trouble, Hurst can play well. I mean, not that he has especially, but I wouldn't count him. I wouldn't.
So is Lattimore hurt? Didn't Lattimore leave the game?
I don't know what. Lattimore
yeah, but I think he.
Is.
I thought he came back in.
And hey, Debbie came back in. Good to see you.
Okay.
I don't know if it was a concussion. Did he have a concussion?
I hope not, man. We have enough concussions.
I can't remember if he had a concussion or not.
Well, if it was a concussion, he definitely didn't come back in.
He's let's see, questionable to return to Sunday the game against the 49ers. I'm not seeing a whole lot on him right now. Obviously, it's Monday, so we're not going to have anything real.
Well, look, the good news is we're even with Winston and Taysom and in a few plays, we're still the better team than the Falcons. They have to come focused, and kind of like you said, I think losing Breeze is going to sharpen their focus.
Yeah,
because I mean, they have to, like, they know, hey man, we got to go out and help Jameis out. They have to.
Yeah.
And
you throw it's a few kinda,
like
short
I said,
passes.
It's, yeah. And you know, he's scared. Teddy held the ball too long. I think Jameis is gonna maybe let it go too quick.
Well, and that's the thing. That like, even though Teddy held it too long, you knew he wasn't gonna throw a bad interception. He just wasn't. He wasn't gonna make the mistake. He was gonna
you know, be almost a game manager.
But we have the same concern with Jameis yesterday, where there was times where we were saying like he's too scared to throw a pick, so he's holding on to the ball.
I just thought even when he did throw, he wasn't necessarily accurate.
Well, and that came out, he was like 6 for 8 or something at some point. Like he was
6 for 10.
Six, yeah. Okay. So it's, he
6 for 10 for 63
six.
Yards. Yeah, and but he almost had an interception. You know, one of them should have had an interception.
When in the first quarter he goes back and we got a 70-yard touchdown pass to somebody, I'm going to be dancing all over the house.
Right? I told you. That's my boy.
Right?
I'm going to be eating them W's.
The problem is he'll do that, and then the next drive will go out and throw a pick six. You know, that's his problem. I mean, he had what?
The pick is his fault.
50
the six
touchdowns
is not
and however many interceptions last year.
30 and 30.
There you go. I mean, 30 interceptions in a season. Jesus. How do you fucking do that?
Like, yeah, Bruce Arians is your coach. That's how.
Picks. He couldn't see. That's why he had eye surgery.
He was blind, and he had Bruce Arians with the most complex offense in the
world. Colorblind, too?
Oh.
Yeah, probably. That well, still might look, be a problem. That's why we need to do color rush for the Falcons game.
Well, look, like you were talking about, it's
solid
kinda,
white guy. Come on.
the Falcons struggling has kind of taken everything away from this game. But to me, like, it's going to be fascinating to see what the hell wins. There's just a lot of curiosity about this game now.
Yeah,
a lot definitely. Of curiosity. It's good for good and bad.
Yeah.
Like, oh God, please don't. Like, I'm going to be tight in my asshole. Please don't.
It's going to be like these next six or seven games are going to be that window into what it's going to be like.
What it could be
for the
like.
Next 5 years, even. Yeah.
Or we just could go, right. Yeah. It's a possibility.
Yeah. This is crazy.
It's nuts, man. I mean, look, 2020, nothing's normal. Especially with the Saints. Nothing's ever normal with the Saints. I mean, come on.
Gerald says, what time is half it? Season is it, left. Is it noon? You might go 15
yeah, it's noon.
And 15.
Oh, Jesus. You're right. Look, he could play seven games.
Shit.
And he'll go 15 and 15 in the seven games.
I don't want that to happen.
I don't either. I'm but
what have we done? Why did we get in bed with this guy?
Do you think are we gonna sign another quarterback to the practice?
Who
now?
Who's out? We just let Tommy Stevens go.
I don't know. That's what I'm asking. Like, what happens if Jameis goes down?
Taysom time.
I mean, that's it. I mean, there's nobody else out there. Can we? Is there a?
What was the comments about Kamara?
Is there a McCown brother out there somewhere still that's not playing? Maybe awesome. trade for Chase Daniel.
I mean, the reason why I asked, I'm watching. There's clearly somebody out there they can grab.
Kaepernick.
Yeah. No, God, please don't even. Bring
How him. Funny would that be?
That'd be pretty. No. That would be hilarious. As much as I don't want Jameis to get hurt,
no. I tell you,
I would love. I would be here for all the reactions for that because it'd be hilarious.
If Kaepernick came on, Malcolm Jenkins would get like 8 interceptions in that game.
Right, right. Hey, look, you got to think about what bringing him in would do to some of these other guys.
Right. Yeah.
Jeez, Adam,
love Adam.
Oh, I didn't see. Oh. Am I not seeing everything? Oh, I got to scroll down. Okay.
Yeah.
Courtney Grove, right and left-handed, just saying.
Well, the reason why I bring that up is, you know, I'm watching this Bears game that just ended, and with like a minute left, Nick Foles went down and was carted off the field.
Holy shit.
So they had to put in this guy Bray, who's...
Wait, they didn't bring in Mitch?
He was at the concession stand? Getting some
no, he was on the sideline, but he wasn't dressed out. He was
Mitchapalooza? What?
He was a healthy scratch, I guess.
Holy shit. What is going on over there?
The Bears
now,
suck.
It was only like a minute left. They were trying to drive down the field to win the game.
I mean, is he that bad? Like, he's in the doghouse that much?
I mean,
I don't. They said something. I don't know if they said underneath that he was hurt. They said a reason he was out. I don't know if he was a healthy scratch or if he was hurt.
Did
or
he,
what,
like,
but he was on
sleep
the sideline
with his coach's wife or
he was
something?
In, Gerald. Gerald Mailman Bucci said he was
shoulder
inactive
injury,
tonight.
Devin.
Wow.
Shoulder
Devin
injury.
Okay.
So,
but, dude, how bad to trade up from 3 to 2 just to pick him when you could have just sat there and got Watson or Mahomes is just – thanks, Ryan Pace.
That's why he's there.
That's just awful. That's awful.
Love
and,
it.
And they were down 19-13 with a minute left. They were trying to go down and score to win the game.
I watched maybe like 10 minutes of this game. Both those teams are trash.
Oh,
like,
they're
going. I know they're talking about, oh, well, the Saints do play the Vikings, and the Vikings are playing a little better. Watching Kirk Cousins is trash. There's no reason we should lose to the Vikings when we play.
No lie, the Vikings won. This was Kirk Cousins' first victory on Monday Night Football ever.
Oh, that's right.
He's not good.
And hasn't he only beaten, like, a winning team once, and weren't we that winning team or something?
Yeah, in the playoffs last year, probably.
Something like that. All right, final thoughts or score predictions. This will be interesting.
Score.
You're predicting a low scoring game.
Fuck.
No, because the Falcons defense sucks. I'm going to go 34-24.
Oh, wow. You're giving a no.
What?
There's no way the Falcons score 24. San Francisco couldn't even score more than 13.
Right, but the Falcons do have offensive pieces. I do think our defense will play well. However, it's going to be one of the, it's going to be a weird game. I'm just I'm predicting a garbage time touchdown that doesn't mean anything. All so right. real so it'll be 34-17 in all intents and purposes.
Okay. I'm going to say go ahead, Scott.
I'm going to say 18-10.
I was going to say,
well,
damn,
let's kick six field goals.
I'm curious to see what the hell y'all are doing. Jesus.
Wait, the Saints kick. Will Lutz is going to kick six field goals?
Big nuts. Six field goals. 18-10 is the final. Six field goals.
That is believable.
Wow.
thank you. I was going to say 21-10. He kicks seven field goals. That was a little too much.
All right, I'm going to say 22-3.
Oh.
I think the defense lights out garbage time field goal, and I think Lutz kicks five field goals, and you're discounting the fact that Kamara is going to get at least one touchdown.
He'd have three this past game.
Yeah.
So Jameis might be a little shaky is what you're saying.
I mean, it's not necessarily shaky, but he's next week is the week, you know, his second full game is when he's going to really start to come into his own. This is still going to be a warm-up for him. He's still in preseason.
I didn't have much confidence when Teddy started last year, like his first game, but I have more confidence in him last year than I do in Jameis this year.
I do too.
he just scared
me. But I'm hoping that it all boils down to having a full week of it being all about him, having a game plan designed to him, working with the guys that over, you know, each week he's going to progressively get better and better and better. And he's got more recent starting experience than Teddy did, so.
Like, he can look great, but he can equally look horrible.
I mean, look, the thing is, when he throws the picks like that, like, it's just so exponentially bad for your team when you throw picks. Yeah.
Like Adam said.
God forbid a pick six.
Yeah, Adam said, it's going to be all about the game plan and not giving the ball to Winston to go win it for us. You know, that's the whole thing, right? This can't be Winston's got to save the day. It's got to be Kamara and the defense carry the team. And Winston just don't
mess
up.
Do you think Taysom... Taysom plays
more. Just manage the game. That's all we're asking him to do. Manage
no, I mean, he may come in for some more running plays, but I think we still use him like we have been. I don't see a drastic change.
Now, he didn't play as much when Teddy was in last year because he was our backup quarterback. Do you see that happening again this year?
Possibly.
Not yesterday. The second, like the whole second half was a healthy mix. Yeah,
well, that's just because the game plan was the game plan already, and they just...
And we also weren't fully aware of the severity of Breece's injury.
Yeah, maybe so.
Right, you know. Because now they know Breece is going to be out, you know, probably 4-6.
You know, Adam says, you know, the Teddy thing, we went 5-0 because of the game plan. And then Gerald says, you're talking about Jameis when he was with Tampa Bay. He's on a better team now. He is a better coach. He has better players around him.
And he has some good players around him in Tampa.
Not like
but
these.
But his...
Not like these.
His... I don't know.
I mean, he had Goodwin and Evans. They're pretty solid.
Not like these players. Evans is not a Michael Thomas.
Okay. Okay, but now I will say we went 5-0 with Bridgewater, sure. We went 5-0 because our defense played absolutely lights out. Our defense won a bunch of games.
They're primed to do that.
Let's hope. Yeah.
They're primed to do that. If they're all healthy, too. I mean, shit. We like Lattimore. Do we need to wait till Wednesday to see what's up with him? And Chauncey, too.
Yeah.
Dude, that's going to suck.
Yeah.
But it's, like you said, we got to get pressure up front.
That it'll be okay. Chauncey
pressure
said it'll
up front
be okay.
Will make the loss of a lot. Like, if Robinson has to play for Lattimore, the pressure up front is going to make Robinson that much better. So it is all about the trenches in this one.
Got to sack the shit pants. That's all we got to do.
Yep. Make him shit his pants. He's going to poop when he calls the shit poop. I know I messed that one up. But all right, final thoughts. Scott.
I did have a final thought. It's kind of a personal final thought. So this past weekend, I kind of told y'all I went to a wedding for our family on my mom's side. And when I got there, I went into the church and sat down with my mom and a couple of my cousins. And I haven't seen my cousins in, God, I can't tell you how long. but my one cousin, the first thing he said to me was, I love the Saints. I love the Saints Don't Patrol podcast.
Okay.
Like, not high, not nothing. Just, I love the Saints Don't Patrol podcast. He's like, you know, it makes me laugh. I enjoy it so much. And, you know, it just, that really meant a lot to me to hear him say that. So, because he's he's kind of a different person. He's a different cat. And it was good that, you know, that I can make him laugh, that we got us can make him laugh. So shout out to my cousin, Billy Rowell. Love you, bud.
Billy.
Thanks for the support.
Billy.
Billy.
Keep watching.
All right.
That's my final thought.
Shout out to Billy. Happy birthday. When's his birthday?
That one, it's not his birthday. I don't know. All right.
Classic job.
Either way. All right, Jason, what's your final thought?
First of all, congrats to Dustin Johnson on winning the Fall Masters. Interesting, weird with no fans, but still the Masters, so congrats to him. And then The Mandalorian, Episode 3. Very good. Very, very good. I know we had kind of joked about possibly doing a...
You haven't seen it. Watch it. It's amazing.
Maybe like a closing credits after the... on the instant reaction to actually discuss
The
Mandalorian. You weren't on the show. It was the other night.
Oh, I thought you weren't.
Yeah. Just a thought. I mean, we have done Survivor shows. We have done other TV shows. We tack on like a closing credits.
You think The Mandalorian
credits.
Is worth a Dome Patrol special?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kind of. I think it is. I kind of
do. We'll let it marinate for this week, but come next week.
It'll be halfway through the season almost. Yeah, it's a 10-episode season.
No, or it's eight. An 8-episode.
Oh, so yeah, next week will be halfway point.
Halfway.
Yeah. Something to think about. We could just tack it on.
And we still have yet, other than the little hologram, we have yet to see Giancarlo Esposito more than just that.
Yeah. They really didn't see him a lot last season either, but yep. I have a feeling we're going to see him this week. Just a hunch.
Yeah, fuck you, Adam. I took a shower.
His face has
That's
COVID.
Just final thoughts. It's just his hair. His hair has COVID.
My hair is because I took a shower before this.
Adam, you and Jeff need to get drunk again and argue to close the show. That's going really old school.
Argue about what?
Exactly. It doesn't matter. I don't know. Argue about anything. Get so angry you would just hang up on the call.
There, how's that?
Remember those days?
Yep. I think me and Adam might agree on the Saints. These days. So, all right. Anybody else got any final thoughts? That's it? Viewers, anything? All right. Well, then that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, that's this one, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, the Pelican Plunge sometimes, the Premier League Podcast sometimes, and every week the newest sensation on the Dome Patrol United Network, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, which, by the way, I will be his featured guest this week.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
yeah. Uh-oh. By the way,
that's all for free.
And there, it's all free.
Somebody who would be a good guest on the show is Luke.
Oh, yeah, we should facilitate.
He is a huge degenerate and has degenerate friends.
Oh, and the two of them? Holy cow. That would be epic. That should be like the season finale.
Yeah, because he... there's a lot of gambling.
That's
right. A lot of gambling.
See, Luke would be the first other real gambler that... right. You notice all his guests know nothing about gambling, which I like, because it makes me enjoy being a listener, because I don't know anything about gambling either, and I'm learning by listening to the show. Gunn takes the time out to explain to people what things are. Mm-hmm. All right.
So when gambling becomes legal, Jeff, you'll be ready to go. Yeah. Legal Louisiana.
I almost put a bet when it was in the WhatsApp where we were talking about the golf. Was it Dustin Johnson was the favorite?
Yeah. Well, DeChambeau was the favorite, but Johnson was like
on
the
Sunday
second
morning,
favorite.
Though, he was like the
number. Oh, yeah. The clear favorite.
Yeah, I was almost going to tell Gunn, put 100 down for me and I could win like $30 or something.
Free money.
Yeah. I should have done it. Damn it. All right, anyway, follow the Dome Patrol podcast on Twitter at Dome Patrol US and Dome Patrol UK. Follow the BS and Beer Saints podcast on Twitter at BS and Beer, and follow Taking the Over at Taking the Over. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. For those of you who are watching, you already are. Just search for Dome Patrol Podcast, and if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, there's Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, healthy rib donkeys.
Good night, Hoodat Nation.